From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines for you this hour. I'll give you the numbers in just a moment. Next hour, is it magic or extraordinary feats of the mind with guest Jim Carroll? Let me tell you, if you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, just take a look at some of the things that magician Jim has sent on to Lex that we've posted on the website. I'm still trying to figure out how some of those things work. They're absolutely stunning. Well, about a week or so ago, Stan Dale was on the program. He was talking about a major earthquake that he envisioned near Honshu, Japan, off the coast there, the eastern coast of Japan. And sure enough, just moments ago, they had a 5.8 magnitude event. Now, Stan had thought it would be a bigger one and could create a tsunami. Now, this was 5.8. But is it a prelude of things to come? But I got to say that was a hit for Stan Dale. Congress has sent President Bush a second five-week extension of the Patriot Act as Senate negotiators work to close a deal with the White House on renewing the anti-terrorism law with some new civil liberty protections for all of us. Well, they're saying, Alan Spector is saying, we need the Patriot Act. I'm prepared to work on it further to improve it. He's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. 16 provisions of the 2001 law were to have expired last December 31st, but Congress extended them until Friday after Democrats and a handful of Senate Republicans demanded an avenue of appeals when the FBI makes demands for people's financial and other private records. The Senate voted 95-1 just moments ago to extend the current law unchanged through March 10th, and give negotiators a little more time to reach a deal. The law makes it easier for federal agents to gather and share information in what they call terrorism investigations, install wiretaps, and conduct secret searches of households and businesses. At issue are 16 provisions that Congress wanted reviewed and renewed by the end of last year. I do hope that they bring in these new civil liberty protections, because even in the act of trying to find terrorists, the Patriot Act could infringe on our rights. Two bombs exploded about 20 minutes apart in eastern Baghdad, killing at least 11 Iraqis, wounding dozens. Also sad news for us in the U.S. military. Five U.S. troops died in separate attacks. A roadside bomb blast killed three U.S. soldiers near south of Baghdad. A fourth soldier died the same day from wounds sustained in a small arms fire attack. And then a U.S. Marine was shot and killed during combat near the western city of Fallujah. In Russia, three bombs ripped through slot machine parlors in a southern Russian city, killing at least two people, injuring up to 25 others there. They're treating the blast there as terrorism. Al-Qaeda is still plotting and preparing attacks on the United States, though great strides have been made to degrade the terror organization. Now, this all according to National Intelligence Director John Negroponte. He told the Senate panel this, speaking on behalf of the entire U.S. intelligence community in a very rare open session. He told the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence that Al-Qaeda and Iran are this nation's top security concerns, although an attack, he says, using conventional explosives continues to be the most probable scenario. Al-Qaeda remains interested in acquiring chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear materials or weapons to attack the United States. Strange story out of the Bermuda Triangle. And this is starting to hit the mainstream media. There were three boats in the Bermuda Triangle. The first boat was a brand new Mercury outboard with these engines. It was a brand new boat. Now, that boat got further ahead of these other two that were in the triangle. Ultimately, one of the stragglers had engine trouble. They radioed the lead boat and told them to hold up while they tried to fix the problem. Apparently, the person in the lead boat said that he would just idle and wait for them. It's very strange. A half hour later, they heard him yell, U.S. Coast Guard. They heard him say that twice, and then there was silence. Now, when the United States Coast Guard found that boat, it was empty. Only two of the three engines were running. The boat had two brand new GPS recording systems Both of them were blank, no data. There were two 200-pound coolers on that boat that were missing. Two 200-pound coolers, gone. The food in the coolers was not taken. Steaks, shrimp, etc., thrown all over the boat. The guy was 45 years old, apparently in great shape, weighed about 200 pounds. He was a kickboxing champion. But this happened in the Bermuda Triangle. Al Bielek, you know him from the Philadelphia story, the Philadelphia experiment, 79, 80 years old. I've just found out that he has now suffered a second stroke. Happened a couple months ago, but I just found this out. We knew about the first one. He is home now. Apparently, Al Bielek is in severe financial straits right now. I'm just going to give you their website, and you do with it as you may. Al Bielek, of course, has been just a great guest on Coast to Coast over the years, talking about that Philadelphia experiment and how the Navy tried to make a ship disappear, and he was on that, he says. www.philadelphia-experiment.com. You can read up a little bit more about the plight of Al Bielek, and our prayers go out to him and wish him a speedy recovery. He's a tough guy. In New York, a man jumped to his death from the Empire State Building after buying a ticket to go to the observation deck. Now, he didn't go all the way up. He apparently jumped from a vacant office on the 66th floor of the 102-story building in Midtown Manhattan. More than 30 people have committed suicide at the Empire State Building since it opened in 1931. In Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, well, don't put those winter coats away just yet. The world's famous weather prognosticating groundhog awakened from his burrow at 7:23 a.m. Eastern Time. He saw his shadow, a sign that there'll be six more weeks of winter. But where is winter? Because people around the country are beginning to say, this is one of the most mild winters we've ever had. The balmy weather, though, they say, could soon end. But just how warm was January? Well, listen to this. Warmest on record in Oklahoma, South Dakota, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Kansas City, Missouri, Riverton, Wyoming, Epley Airfield in Omaha, Nebraska, barely missing the record in Iowa, second warmest in Maine and in Milwaukee, third warmest in Memphis, Tennessee and in Detroit, fourth warmest in New York's Central Park area. That's tied with January of 1913 there. Very warm in Greensboro, North Carolina and Louisville, Kentucky. Eighth warmest in Denver, the warmest since 1986. 10th warmest winter in Baltimore. Warmest since 1950 in Buffalo and Nashville, Tennessee. 12th warmest in New Mexico. And Minneapolis, St. Paul had the warmest January in 160 years. Why? Well, they say the current warmth is caused by the very unusual position of the jet stream, the high-altitude river of air that flows west to east across the United States and North America. It divides warm air from cold, but they say over the coming week, the jet stream is expected to return to its usual wavy pattern, bringing real normal cold air to the eastern U.S. once again. And if they haven't had enough in New Orleans, tornadoes racing through New Orleans, many in the exact spots where a lot of the homes were destroyed. How much more can they take there? Water ice present on the surface of Comet Temple 1 suggests observations from NASA's Deep Impact mission. They say this is the first direct detection of exposed water ice on a comet. But the mission's science team says the water ice is presently in surprisingly small amounts, covering less than 1% of Comet Temple's surface. They are throwing out old assumptions about comets because they said they're just getting new data all the time. A strange story out of Ellensburg, Washington, where Mel Waters is supposed to reside, you know, Mel's Hole. Well, first of all, let me tell you the strange story and then an update on Mel and Mel's Hole. A man who owned three McDonald's fast food franchises crashed his truck on Interstate 90 in Washington State. He climbed out. He took his clothes off, stood in a traffic lane, and was run over and killed. 35 years old, he owned three fast food restaurants. Apparently, he was doing very well, but nobody knows what happened. I mean, it was freezing out. He took his clothes off and got hit by another vehicle. Now, to add mystery to all this, a dead dog was found near the truck. The dog's carcass straddle the two eastbound lanes near the shoulder of the road. Authorities haven't been able to figure out what was going on with that either. Now, you might remember back in 1997, Art Bell interviewed a fellow by the name of Mel Waters. Mel claims that there was almost an endless hole on his property near Ellensburg, Washington. As a matter of fact, I did some of the calculations because I listened to part of the old interview that Art did with Mel. At least 15 miles deep. It had no end to it. That's about as far as Mel had measured it because he kept putting string down there with a one-pound piece of metal at the bottom of it to weigh it down. So at least 15 miles deep. I pulled out a little excerpt because I want you to hear this for a moment, because there's now a major push underway to try to find that hole and to try to find Mel Waters. Listen to this portion of Art's interview with Mel Waters from 1997.
This could be an apocryphal story, but one guy claims that he threw his departed canine down into the hole.
Oh, really?
And the story is the guy that did it swears the dog actually came back to him. And he was a
really?
Hunter. He was a hunt. The story is that he was a hunter, and he was out there hunting, and he saw the same dog. He had the same collar. He had the same little, little metal thing on his collar there. And he said it was the same dog. And he says he knew he threw the dog into the hole. But that's not my dog. That's not my.
It's not your story, but it's a story of a resurrected dog.
Yeah. This is, as you can well imagine, this is all Native American land around here. And one of the lines of inquiries I'd like to make is, is there anything about this hole in regards to the Native Americans? That's something I haven't really pursued right now. But
if you had a fatal disease, Mel,
yeah,
would you jump in the hole?
I would.
You would?
Just based on the dog story? It is in my will.
What?
A classic, a simple classic. But there's a major effort underway to try to find Mel and the hole now. We're going to try to get behind it as well. I've received an email by a fellow by the name of Grant. I'm not going to give you his last name yet, but he is a moderator of a website called melshole.com. He is a serious researcher. Since 1997, he says, no one has been able to locate the hole or Mel Waters, who obviously described the hole to Mr. Bell. Frankly, after dozens of searches, plus extensive research by many people, we're no closer to locating the hole when it first aired. Now, Grant is asking me to check into some information here, which he hopes would allow him to try to track down Mel. So we will be working on that in the not-too-distant future. We have re-emailed Grant and asked him to make himself available to come on the program to see what else he's been up to in the search for Mel Waters and the hole, which is one of the strangest stories I've ever heard. Now, we've got open lines for you. Here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, get ready, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Our next hour guest, Jim Carroll, the magician, was on the Jay Leno show, and we've got some audio, which I'm going to play for you sometime next hour with Jim. Unbelievable stuff. Now, this guy is good, but I'll tell you, Jay Leno was in shock after he witnessed what Jim Carroll can do. So make sure that you're listening very closely on that when I play that part of audio. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Hello, where are you?
I'm in Colorado.
Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, George. In 1998, I had a prophetic dream or out-of-body experience.
You did?
I'm a person who does not like heights. I don't even like to be in an airplane. But that night in 1998, I went to bed and found myself up above Oregon, the state.
Now, what did it feel like? For a person who hates heights, What was it like to be way up there in the air?
It was normal. I mean, it was natural.
Did you feel free, like a bird?
I don't know. It was just a natural thing. And don't ask me why, but it was. And I have never had such a thing happen to me before. So I looked down, and all of Oregon was gone. It was completely covered with sand. I have never seen so much sand. And there was not even one green leaf, tree, or car. You know how sometimes if there's been a flood, everything, you know, is all piled outside.
Like nothing? No buildings? Nothing?
No buildings. It was all covered up with sand. And there was only lines of water left. You know, it's just like after a big, heavy rain, you see the, you know, lines of water left. Okay, I wasn't in any craft. You know how sometimes people say they're in a craft
and
they look down? I didn't see any of that. I just looked down, and there was all this disaster. And I don't have a clue how I got up there because I don't like heights. I thought to myself, and I thought, you know, everybody has always told people in California that they would be the next, you know, person that had a problem in California. But no one ever prepared me for Oregon, and this is why it was so unusual. And both me and my husband, we thought it'd be great if we could move to Oregon sometime. And then after I had that, I thought, forget it, I'm not going.
Well, you think it was a futuristic dream, like hundreds of years away?
I don't know. But all I'm saying is, I'm just warning people. And I feel sorry for prophets after that, because I know what they go through. Because you want to explain it to people, and people do not believe it, and it wouldn't do any good to tell people.
Sometimes people just won't listen. That's true. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hello, George. Seamus here.
It's the voice of Seamus.
Long time no talk.
The Ghost Chaser and the Shadow Man. How are you, Seamus? What's going on?
I was kind of wondering, remember Prophet Jehovah? The guy that was going to summon those UFOs.
That was Prophet Yahweh.
Or Prophet Yahweh.
Yes.
Whatever in the world happened to him?
Well, after we interviewed him a couple times, and there was, as you know, a video from that Las Vegas television station that showed some object floating into the picture. That was strange. The good prophet had problems getting anyone to back him or to have any more show up. So what he decided to do was to go on a worldwide tour for 45 days, and he was going to call on these UFOs to show up in every city, and I don't know what happened to him.
Oh, well.
But he's out there, because every once in a while, I'll get an email from somebody who has heard about him or has read about him in their particular city.
Well,
so he's out there. It's like that movie, Radio Flyer, where that kid just sends in postcards from wherever he might be.
Right.
I think that's what's become of Prophet Yahweh.
Well, keep us posted, George.
Will do.
He's an interesting character.
Well, you put that mildly. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Mary from Cincinnati.
Hello, Mary from Cincinnati.
About a year ago, you had a doctor, Stephen Greer, on about free energy.
Yes.
I haven't heard anything about it from now on, ever since then.
Well, you know, we bring a lot of people on, Mary, to talk about energy. Stephen Greer, one of them, what he's trying to do is to get this zero-point energy. He thought he was pretty close to finding the machine that was working and could do that as a demonstration. I guess maybe it's time to get an update from him just to see what he's been able to do.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're interested in that stuff, huh?
Yes.
How come?
Well, for obvious reasons.
You want free energy.
Yeah.
Well, Bill's pretty tight for you now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not alone on that, Mary.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. Hey, open lines are going to continue. If you need to email me, that's George at coast2coastam.com. Whenever you get a moment, get up to the coast2coastam.com website, especially with our guest coming in next hour, Jim Carroll, the magician. Take a look at some of the mind-boggling things that he has sent our way. There's one there called the flash numbers. I cannot figure it out. I'm getting close, I think. I think it has to do with some repetition of numbers. But this is, it's unbelievable. So if you have a computer, you're in luck. Get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at it before we crash his server. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines continue right here on Coast to Coast AM. Red Elk knows a little bit about Mel's Hole. He visited it once. I think he said it was a volcano vent, if I can recall. Scott, by the way, a producer in Phoenix, Arizona, television producer, said he spent 2 days with Prophet Yahweh. That's the guy who summons UFOs. Last summer, he said it was a big, fat, nothing happened at all. But he did go ghost hunting last weekend. Scott did, not Prophet Yahweh. And he said some awesome stuff happened. Scott, keep in touch with us. Let us know what happened when you went ghost hunting. If you have not seen the Predictions television show and you live in Canada, tonight was the big debut there. But don't worry, it's going to be on for another week. All you have to do is go to www.predictions.tv and it will guide you on where you can find the program. It is on cable right now in Canada and on satellite in Canada. And those of you in the United States that might have missed the show, you can look at it online by also going to predictions.tv. Let's go to the phones. Wildcard line, welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Hey, George. I had a question for you. I was wondering if you had any information or if you knew anything about a dig they did in Roswell, New Mexico. And it was an archaeological dig with scientists. And supposedly they dug up some stuff and they locked it up in a bank and they were going to take it out later and go over it.
Now, was this on Discovery? Because when they went out to Roswell, they did an archaeological dig about 2 years ago.
I think it was a couple of years back.
Yes,
so.
You are right. I did not know about the vaulting of whatever they might have found. I'm not familiar with that. But I know they went out there and took a look at it.
So you're not sure if what happened actually with what happened, in the end?
I don't think they found anything conclusive.
Okay. And one more question I had for you. You had a caller who called in, and it was about like an assassination or something. I was wondering if you could comment on it. It was in Grayling, Michigan. It was about 2 weeks ago. And apparently the guy's father was on his deathbed and his uncle had been involved in some assassination of some guy who was going to come out with some information on UFOs.
Very good. Next Friday, February 10th, Linda Moulton Howe, who is talking to us that night that individual called us, has had an opportunity to talk with him. He gave us his phone number. She's interviewed him, and we're going to play that interview next Friday night. Not this Friday, next Friday night. So she'll be on, and I'm glad you brought that up.
Awesome. I'll listen. Thanks a lot,
okay,
George.
Yeah, make sure you are listening because it is unbelievable. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
I just wanted to comment on, I believe his name is Dr. Turi.
Dr. Lewis Turi.
Yes, Turi, I'm sorry, about the volcano prediction. And I was curious, I tripped my friends out because, my friends at work, because I told them about this volcano that would hit, the earthquake that would hit. And Japan, and so they're going to really trip out when I tell them that it happened. I was curious if there was any recent predictions that he's made.
Well, yes, there are. As a matter of fact, he keeps talking about March 13th for something very, very big. So that's a couple months away. We'll have to watch that.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. And don't forget, though, Stan Dale was the one who predicted this most recent Japanese earthquake. Wildcard line, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Is this me?
Yeah. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm trying to tell you not to do the interview with the devil.
Not to do the interview. How come?
Well, basically, he's been granted power, and he can and will probably possess people, listeners, probably even yourself, because this is a... something you don't want to get involved with.
So you think that if he is on the air, that he, through his abilities, would be able to possess people?
Exactly.
You don't think he could possess people now?
They can only do what God allows them to do. But if you, it's like leaving the door open, you know, saying, hey, let people just come in, whatever.
Well, we are taking some precautions. I will tell you that. I'm not going into this thing blindly at all. I'm going to be surrounded by someone from the clergy and several staff people, and we will perform the interview in a sacred place, and then I'm going to attempt to record it. I shall not do this live, nor do I think we have the capability of doing this live. So I'm taking all the necessary precautions to do that. Somebody sent me an email and said, George, you hate Ouija boards and you don't want to use them. Why interview the devil? I don't think you can control a Ouija board. Once you're playing with that planchette, anything can happen. Now, with the devil, well, this is just a Q&A. I mean, I want to know what things are like down there. I want to see what his plans are. I'm going to ask him who the Antichrist is. He may not answer. But we're going to take those precautions. I'm not worried about myself. Most of you are worried about me, but I am not. We'll be back in a moment. Coast to Coast continues. And welcome back, East of the Rockies. Your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. Hey, I'm glad you took my phone call. Today's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. And I said, God, let me get through this time.
Okay, what does that make you? Let's see, your astrological sign would be, you're in June. Was that a Capricorn?
No, I'm an Aquarius.
Aquarius, okay.
I'm called a water child. And I love water.
See, it works.
George, I have a question, and
all right.
I would like to know if anyone out there has heard of this new product that's out, and it's made from zeolite, and I don't know if anybody...
What does it do?
Well, I have a friend that has cancer, and I told her about it, and I said, there's this new stuff out there, it's made from zeolite, and that's like volcanic ash. You know, but there's different kinds of zeolite, but it's called natural cellular defense.
Does it work?
You know what? The lady's still alive. And I ordered her two bottles, and I took it over there because she was supposed to be dead before Christmas.
Oh, my.
And hospice was in there. And so I called her, and I said, listen, I said, this stuff came in, and I'm going to, this was 2 days after Christmas. She was on... you know, everything. Hospice was in her home.
They were ready to take her away.
Yes. The doctors told her to go home and get her affairs in order. This lady is still alive. She kicked them out after she was on it for 3 days. She called me and she said, guess what? Hospice is gone, and I just made my bed and made my breakfast.
Well, I think
what are you doing?
Well, I tell you what you got to do. We'll do some Google searching. I have not heard of this, you know, we normally don't put those kinds of remedies on the air, but it's well worth searching and checking into. And I'm glad she's going strong. A lot of it, though, could be her positive thinking too. If she believed it would work, it might have worked. And happy birthday once again, Wildcard Line. You're on the air. Hello. Going once.
Hello.
There he is. Hi.
Hello. This is Norm. I'm calling from Elizabethtown, Kentucky.
Hi, Norm.
My wife and I run teams in a truck. We run a lot of north-south routes. About a month ago, you were talking about a lot of meteor showers and stuff like that.
Sure.
Well, we've taken the notice, we've noticed mostly in the southern states at night, we got a contest going. Who's seen more? 3-4 a night sometimes. And that's kind of unusual. Did you figure out if we were in a belt or anything?
Oh, yeah. I think during that period, Norm, that might have been the Geminids at that time. You know, there's a couple big waves of meteor showers. There's the Leonids and the Geminids. But I think it was the Geminids that you were in. And
okay,
they are spectacular, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. We've seen, you know, and like I said, I'll get up from my shift and get ready to drive, and she'll say, I saw four. How many did you see? You know, so it's beautiful. It's just so many of them just kind of surprised us.
Have you seen that phony television commercial on the internet where this truck is bouncing along in the desert and a guy is videotaping it like his buddies, and they're all waving to him from the truck, and this meteor comes flying out of the sky and blows up this area, and the truck just keeps going. You know, it's like a commercial for a truck company. It's never been aired on television. Maybe it's been aired in Europe. They do things like that.
Yeah, I'm not sure where I saw it. It might have been on the internet, but yeah, I've seen that, and the pickup comes rolling out, even meteor proof or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, man, I would hate to be in a truck when that happens.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on the show. First time caller line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Well, good morning, George. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. That truck commercial has aired here on our local television.
Oh, has it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really funny.
All right, then it's out there.
Absolutely. Hey, it's very intermittent that I get to hear your show because I'm never usually out this time of night, but I always try to catch it whenever I am. And this has been a few months ago, a couple of items that I heard that was covered and just never heard any more about them. One, of course, was the Giants of the Solomon Islands.
The Giants of the... Stephen Quayle updates us every once in a while on those. Nothing new to report.
Nothing new
since
there.
You last heard that.
And then the last time, I guess, was the fellow that was looking for Bigfoot.
Ah, well, he hasn't found Bigfoot. That I can report.
Okay.
He thought he had him. He thought he had him, but he didn't.
It sounded like he was ready just to run right out and grab him and drag him into the studio.
I know
it.
Well, I don't know if I'd let Bigfoot into the studio, but we'd put him in the producer's booth.
Oh, I see. There you go. But so no updates. You know, I just thought as matter of fact as these people sounded, you know, there's got to be wealthy, interested, adventurous, eccentric, whatever you like to call folks out there if they thought they could get in on something like that, they'd have people all over.
Well, you would think that someone like that or a major television network, somebody would get behind a major documentary on the search for Bigfoot with the exclusive rights, you know, to do like they did in the King Kong movies, you know, to have the rights to just air this thing and all that. And that's not happening with Bigfoot.
Yeah. I know just a fella.
Yeah.
Geraldo Rivera.
Put him out there. Well, I don't know. Let's see. Geraldo went into Al Capone's booth. Nothing there, right? What else
that's
did
great.
He do? Did he do the pyramids? Was he on that one?
Oh, I don't think he was. All right. The only thing is...
Somebody was I think he was, wasn't he? With Zahi Hawass in Egypt?
Hawass, that guy's something, isn't he? I watched him the other night.
He is high energy.
Oh, golly.
He does love what he's doing. I just wish he'd have a little bit the better open mind about the fact that the Egyptians might have gotten some extraterrestrial help out there.
Sure.
All right, thanks.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks, George.
Appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're up. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead.
My name is Justin. I'm from Indiana.
Hi, Justin.
I have a question for you. It's like a dream that I had. I had this dream that I was like half awake and half asleep. But my dream, like, you know how like whenever you have a dream, you have your eyes open and like...
You think it's like you're in the dream. You're awake, you're doing your thing. And if you know, by the way, that you're in a dream... You know, you're fully aware that it's a dream, but it's a dream. It's called lucid dreaming.
And my eyes were open.
Yeah.
And I couldn't move, but I was trying to force myself awake. And I seen coming from the hallway, like, from what I've heard of what aliens look like, but I don't know if I've ever seen one unless this was real. And he had his arms coming out after me, but he was, like, maybe, like, 3 or 4 feet tall. And he had, like, a real big head, like, from, like, what I've heard of what aliens look like.
How do you know you weren't really abducted?
I don't know.
Maybe it wasn't a dream.
I mean...
Maybe it happened.
But then I, like, woke up, and then, like, it was gone.
Well, wait a minute now. This is what some people who have been abducted say. They go through exactly what you went through. They don't have full recollection of everything that happened,
all right,
the abduction. And then they're back in their beds again. Or wherever they might be. Maybe that's what happened to you. Very.
It was kind of like a dream. I mean, he like had his hands like out coming towards.
They're always like dreams, and that's how it starts. But you know, if you really want to find out what happened to you, go to a hypnotherapist. You know, find one of those in your area. You said you're in Indiana, so track one down. They might be able to help you. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Eric out in Missoula, Montana.
Where it normally gets cold, but not anymore.
Yeah, it ain't been too cold up here.
No.
But I was wondering, you were about a month ago talking about that shoulder-launched rocket that was shot at a plane down there in L.A., and then we didn't hear nothing more about it.
Well, that was only a report. Nobody ever confirmed it. And it didn't go anyplace, but there were reports that a pilot coming out of LAX saw something go by his plane, but nobody knows exactly what it was. So The story died there, sadly enough. If it was a real story, they stepped on it and they quashed it.
See, that's what I was thinking. And of course, too, you know, the other thing I was going to say is I've seen that commercial for that pickup truck up here in Montana.
So it's on television now then?
Yeah.
Okay. I see. I saw it on the internet first and thought it was just a spoof. So I guess it was a real commercial.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious, too.
Yeah. It's one of the better ones. Okay. Thanks. Speaking of commercials, Super Bowl time Sunday. Wonder what they're going to play this time. People have spent, they in production, spend more money to produce the commercials. I know some people at Anheuser-Busch, for example, they spend more money to make the commercials than they do to buy the time to air those things. And those events, and it's been going on for years, people would rather watch the commercials than the actual game. And that's the way it's been for a long, long time. Time for one more quick call. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. I got a minute for you. It's all yours.
Okay, a minute. Hi, I'm Jack from Montreal. So real quick, George, the last 5 years, I know I'm being abducted. I can't believe I'm saying this. It took me so long to come out of this denial. My question briefly to you is, these pieces of metal and the scars that I have inside my body, that's like I feel like a tagged deer at this point, what is this metal? Why do I have it? And
Did you extract it, or is it still in your body?
I'm going to tell you something. It's going to blow your mind away. I actually tried to take one of them out, and it flew back into my hands, man. They're there.
You mean like a magnet? It went right back in?
Yeah, and in front of a friend I did it, you know. I just took a knife, and I just said, you know, screw this, man. I'm like...
Okay, I'll tell you what you should do. I just had a guest on who could help you a lot. His name's Daryl Sims. Go to my website, coasttocoastam.com. On the left-hand side, look for show info and then guests. And then alphabetically, just look for Sims, S-I-M-S, Daryl Sims. That's his name. Email him. He'll follow up with you. He'll tell you all about these implants, what they mean. He may want to meet you. He definitely may find a doctor who might want to operate and take one of those out. Try that. Also, there's Dr. Roger Lear. Same way you can find him on the website. Somebody will help you, I'm sure. I'll be back in a moment. We've got a magician rolling around, and maybe he's here already, and I can't see him. That's very possible, too. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.